Welcome to the Milestone Mama Podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea Hollis, wife, fellow mom, and former fitness instructor turned photographer, educator, and birth doula. When I became a mom for the first time, it completely changed my life in all of the best, most beautiful ways. But I also quickly learned just how overwhelming and challenging those days could be too. I found so much healing in community, and that's why this podcast was born. Tune in each week as we uncover all of the nuances of being a mom, from pregnancy, birth, postpartum, and everything in between. If you're ready to connect, to learn, to grow, to feel inspired, seen, and heard, you've come to the right place. And I'm so glad you're here. Let's go ahead and get this thing started.
Let's get into today's episode. Welcome back to Milestone Mama. We have Macy Pruitt with us, who is another returning guest. This is your third time.
My third, right? Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here. Macy is pregnant with her second baby.
Yes.
So we're going to talk all things pregnancy and postpartum with a toddler and just adjusting to all of those things. So why don't you just give another quick little intro in case whoever's listening might not have heard you on those other two episodes, which by the way, go back and listen to them because they're great. But let's hear a little bit about Macy.
I am Macy. And just to preface, I've had a sinus cold. So if I have a coughing attack or I'm clearing my throat a lot, don't mind me. That's all it is. I still say personal trainer. I'm really, I guess a fitness trainer. I do it all, most of it online. I have an app called Fittest Core that is workouts for every woman in every stage of life. So I specialize in pregnancy and postpartum and then just general women's fitness. So I run my business from home. So I get to stay home with my sweet 2-year-old Eli, and I am expecting my second boy in 3 months. Which
so
is
exciting.
Crazy. The second pregnancy has gone by so much faster.
Oh my gosh. I know. We're going to talk about all that, but if you don't follow Macy on Instagram, definitely go do it. And she's got so much great content out there for, like she said, any stage of life, but I love what you put out about pregnancy and postpartum and all that. As someone who used to be in the fitness industry, I really respect your philosophy and approach to fitness, because I think there's a lot of garbage out there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people who don't know what they're talking about, one, and two, who prey on women in this vulnerable season of their life. I don't know if we talked about this when you were on last, but I know when I was pregnant with my first, not so much the second time around, but I got targeted in so many ridiculous fitness ads. Mm-hmm. And one of them was specifically a postpartum coach.
Yeah.
I cannot even tell you, Macy, the claims that she was making, the things that she was saying. I'm pretty sure one of them said, it was something pertaining to letting yourself go after pregnancy and how it could lead to a divorce. Yeah.
Oh, that stuff makes my blood boil.
And it would keep coming up, and I would flag it and report it and stuff, because I was this just makes me want to throw up. How does it, who does this woman think?
Well, and some women believe that.
I know.
Yeah, that makes me sick.
Yeah. So anyway, when I find, people like you who are doing it the right way, I'm hey, this is who you need to look out to, because
I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah.
It's just, postpartum is quite literally the most vulnerable time in your entire life, because you don't know who you are for a while, and you don't recognize your body, and you're exhausted, and hormones are whack, and there's so many factors. So to target women in the most vulnerable stage of their life is just absolutely ridiculous. That's clickbait saying.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
And I'm sure that's why that person did it. Cause she was
this will make me money. Yeah. One of them said how to have a belly only pregnancy, only gain weight in your belly.
Which that is,
it's not even possible.
Genetics go into that. That's not even,
it's not a thing.
Ugh.
But it was the grossest clickbait I've ever seen in my life. And
you know, people are clicking on it. I probably would click on that just out of like curiosity of what this woman is selling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. I would be so curious to see what her stuff like entailed, but there's no way I was gonna ever like spend money on that garbage. But yeah. Anyway, that could be a whole other podcast in and of sure itself.
There's still a lot of garbage out there.
There is a lot to weed through. Well, let's just dive right into what pregnancy has looked like for you with a toddler. Maybe let's just open with what has been hard that you didn't think was going to be hard, and then maybe like what has been easier than you anticipated.
I have this pregnancy has emotionally been easier for me, physically been harder, like generally speaking. But one thing I wasn't aware of that would be hard is, I guess the best way to put it is feeling like I'm not being or doing enough for Eli, my toddler. Because when you're pregnant, you aren't really able to be full capacity of yourself, especially first trimester, depending on how you feel. And then, you know, again, third trimester, you kind of slip back into the fatigue and you're just like big. Mm-hmm. Second trimester is a little bit better, but it's feeling, I'm a very, you know, I'm lucky to run my business from home. So I am with Eli every day and I'm very fortunate for that. I do not take that for granted. That being said, I do put a lot of pressure on myself, I will admit, to be super engaging with him and super interactive. And so this pregnancy has been tough because I feel like I haven't been able to be my best mom self to him. So I know deep down I'm still being a great mom, and kids are so intuitive. He, especially first trimester, knew something was up and kind of like met me at my level, slowed down a bit, was down for more cuddling, all of that. But it's hard feeling like you can't be the best mom that you want to be for your toddler, because you like literally physically can't, whether it's because of nausea or extreme fatigue. You know, a lot of women have HG where they're living over the toilet. So situations like that where, I mean, I remember there have been so many nights where I've just been sitting on the couch watching him play and just crying, being like, I feel like I'm like, and that sounds so silly, but I feel like I'm not even missing out, but just not being the mom that I think that if I were to hear myself say that before becoming pregnant with a toddler, I'd be like, okay. But when you're in the thick of it, it really is, you feel that mom guilt and it's really hard. So that's been the hardest part.
Yeah. I completely can relate to it. I understand it. And I also think like a lot of it just comes with our minds and like our hearts starting to adjust to the fact that like they're not going to be our only baby mm-hmm. anymore. Like that was mm-hmm. always super front of mind to me when I felt that way. I was really fortunate. Like I had a pretty easy pregnancy for the most part, but first trimester, it's just really freaking hard no matter how you spin it. And I didn't have as bad of fatigue as I did with Silas. And I think I owe that to the fact that I didn't have as much aversion with mm-hmm. him. I had so much food aversion. I wasn't throwing up with him, but I couldn't eat anything. And then that made me so tired. Versus this time with Irie, I was throwing up here and there, but I could still eat like normal foods. So I wasn't as tired, thankfully, because I had a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
Almost 2-year-old. But there was definitely lots of days on the couch where I was just like, I've got nothing. So I'm going to put on Cocomelon and I'm going to lay here while he drinks his milk. And that's just got to be enough today. Yeah. And yeah, it's hard. And it only continues into motherhood with two, you know. I'm not going to
don't doubt that.
I'm not going to sit here and say that it has been easy. But the good thing is you do kind of become so much more grateful for the windows of time that you have and can like try to be more intentional, like as much as you can. But I feel like on the business front of being an entrepreneur and stay-at-home mom, it's, we do put so much pressure on ourselves to be like 100% in one and the other. Your business is like, you get out of it what you put in.
Yeah.
And you know, if like we rely on my income too.
Right.
And so it does feel like a lot of pressure to be and do everything. And yes, it's just a constant ebb and flow. But yeah, for anyone to sit here and say that being pregnant for the second, third, fourth, whatever time, once you have one, to sit here and say that it's not difficult and that your mind doesn't go through all of these thoughts would be such a lie. So yeah, let's unpack a little bit of what just transpired on social media, because we were just chatting about this before we press record. Macy has an amazing platform, but with that sometimes can come negativity, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both just kind of flabbergasted and in shock at the lack of understanding and support from what you would think would be an incredible mom community.
Yeah. Yeah. I essentially, on one of my really bad nights, I just had a breakdown about what I just talked about, just feeling like I can't be the mom that I want to be for E. And when you, and I shouldn't even feel like I have to justify this, but your hormones are so out of tune and just like heightened. And there's so much emotion that one little thing that sets you off can really, you know, snowball. And that is what happened that night. And I just remember sitting on the couch sobbing because I just had convinced myself that I wasn't doing a good job with him. And like, I felt like I didn't even have a personality with him because I couldn't provide that for him and anything. And Chase had texted asking how we were because he had left with me. He had something that night. Chase is my husband. And he texted checking in. And I took a picture of myself and I said, you know, I'm sitting here so sad, and kind of explained to him what I was feeling. And so that was the gist of what inspired my post. And I had, fast forward to like 3 weeks after that text that I shared with Chase, I had another night kind of similar to that one. And I was like, you know what? I may scroll back through my text with Chase, save that picture, and share this text, because I know if I'm feeling this again, there are more moms out here that are pregnant with a toddler and they're feeling this as well. And when I share these things, I feel less alone because I know that other moms feel less alone too. And there's no way I'm the only person in the world feeling this. And so shared the picture, shared the text, and then a little like blurb under it about what I just said and saying, if you're feeling this, you're not alone, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it has like blown up. There's, at first it was more love. Now it's about 50-50 love and hate of just being attacked, and mostly by other women, moms saying, you know, buck up, or I have 5 kids and I figured out how to do it. You obviously do have the energy if you can pick up your phone and take a picture. Why don't you take down your, or set your phone down and spend more time with it? Just like berated. And it sucks. It sucks really bad. And a lot of the comments make me feel like women didn't actually take the time to read the post, because I do say in the post that I shared this weeks later.
Right.
So I wasn't sitting there sobbing, trying to take a sad picture of social media. Moment. Yeah. Like that's not what I do. It literally was for my husband. And I didn't take the time in that moment being with my son to type up this thoughtful caption. Like it truly was 3 or 4 weeks later, which is neither here nor there now, but It's just, quite frankly, disgusting what other people, especially women, especially moms, are capable of saying to other women.
It's pretty astonishing. And you would think people would take like just that extra pause to be like, one, maybe just to like take everything in context and actually finish reading before they're so quick to just jump and like attack people. I think that's just the culture that we've cultivated as a society these days, which is really just disappointing and sad. But not only that, but just to kind of take a second to be like, oh, there's actually another human on the other side of this who's struggling. Despite if you agree or not, or had the same experience, like your experiences are unique to you. And they're like, I talk about this all the time. It's as simple as like, if someone were to come to me and say that they were feeling a certain way, you can't take somebody's feelings from them. Like whether you would react that way or feel that way or not, that's your truth. That's your experience. That's your human freaking experience. And not only that, but if someone like were to just dig a little bit deeper, again, like I said, just pause for a second and like actually unpack what you're talking about, maybe they would understand that it's not like you were saying, oh my gosh, I can't do anything. I'm pregnant. I can't get off the couch because I'm pregnant. And so my toddler just has to sit there. Like, no,
you're what a lot of people read it as.
Right. You're being a good mother in that you're giving your all, yet you're struggling with the fact that it doesn't feel like enough.
Yeah. It wasn't my version of mothering my kid.
Right. It's not like you were just checking out and being like, yep, this is it now. It is what it is. He's got to do his thing because I'm pregnant. It's like, no, of course not. Like you are like worrying and feeling those things makes you a good mom. It just means that you're worried about your kid and your relationship with him and what you can give. Like that's what it boils down to, which is why it's so gross that it's gotten to that point. So I'm just really sorry that it's gotten there.
I am too, but this sounds so cliche. It is what it is. I'm just reminding myself that these people don't know me. They don't know my heart. They don't know how I mother, and I'm a really good mom. And I know that. And I just have to leave it at that. And there have been so many beautiful comments. There was one girl that commented, because let me yell it from the rooftops. I know that people have it worse off than me. That is not what I was saying. It was not a woe is me post. There are women who do struggle with infertility. There are women that have 8 kids. There are women that have autoimmune disorders. So it is always hard for them, not just when they're pregnant. I mean, the list goes on, and I totally know that. But there was one mom that was so sweet. I ended up pinning her comment because her perspective, it honestly made me cry. But she said that she has MS, which obviously I cannot relate to and know just a little bit about, but enough about to know that that is a day, it's an hourly struggle for her to even move her body. And she so could have taken that, as many, 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 many women did, and say, oh, well, you should try doing it with this. Mm-hmm. But instead she came from a place of love and compassion, as I wish moms could do, and said, I have MS. And so it's a daily struggle for me. I understand your pain. Give yourself grace. And went on and on about like encouraging me and how all mothers have to stick together and it is hard, but we show up and our kids love us. And gosh, it brought me to tears because I was like, this is what motherhood community should be about. It should not be about one-upping, because like, shoot, this mom one-upped me, you know, like, I can't imagine what every day is like for her to parent her daughter. And she even went into details about how she thinks that it's beautiful when our kids see us sad or down or feeling this guilt, because then they know what that emotion is. They're able to recognize that in themselves and learn how to address that. And it's a wonderful perspective coming from a woman who has it way, way worse than me. And that was a good reminder of like, there are people that they're like, they're good people. And I know that, but that's what I wish that motherhood community could be about, is just truly supporting, is mom supporting moms, no matter what our situation looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to spend too much energy on that negativity, but
yes,
you know, and we had this podcast on the calendar for like a while now. I don't remember when I first messaged you about recording this, but we had this idea of chatting about what it's like to be pregnant with a toddler and what it's like to adjust to postpartum with a toddler and all these things, because I had no idea what I was in for. But then it just so happened that this kind of all transpired in the meantime. And so this podcast wasn't originally intended to, you know, smash the trolls, but I felt like we had to at least address it, because we could very well get the same feedback on this with people saying, oh, it's not that hard or whatever it might be. But again, everyone's experience is their own, and we're only just sharing our own perspectives. So, yeah.
And I do know a lot of women, it comes from a place of grief or sadness or discontent in their own life. And that does make me sad. Yeah. But I also just wish you could complain to yourself about it, or I don't know. It's truly just, it takes such an effort to be mean instead of just not saying anything at all.
Yeah. But I've never in my life left a hate comment. I mean,
even
on the things that are so like blatantly wrong, I've just been like, yeah, why the hell would you say that? I don't agree with that. And then I just keeps going. Cause even that, even the ones that like everyone's going after, that it's like so blatantly obvious that it's a terrible, you know, viewpoint or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
It's still just like too much energy to give to such like negativity.
Yeah, just I know.
Keep it going.
Well, then the negative, we can move on after this, but the negative comments are like really long. So I'm like, you really took time to think this out, be mean. It's crazy to me. But
for you to say like, oh, put your phone down and go be with your kid, you do that too. Like, you have enough time to leave me a paragraph about how much you disagree with me or think I'm an idiot. So you're wasting your precious energy that you could be spending with your kids too.
Right.
I had that happen one time. Some troll, it was like a fake account, I'm pretty sure, because they didn't have any like posts or pictures.
Yeah, and whatever. A lot of times they are.
But they would always leave stuff on my like question boxes and things and say like, oh, like if I were you, I would never spend so much time on social media if I had kids and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, number one, this is my business and my livelihood. Yeah. Number two, who's the one with a fake freaking Instagram account just to show people? Like, excuse me.
Right. You have to take the time to log out of your real one, log into your fake one. Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even just the comments. It's like you've gone out of your way to hide your identity so that you can go be mean to other people.
That's like, a good point.
I will never take your word seriously. So
yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about maybe some of the ease. Like, what has been, or like, how do you find ease in your day? Maybe what has been helpful for you? What's been a little easier than you anticipated it being?
My son has been so helpful. My last pregnancy, like when I was pregnant with him, I think I this was not diagnosed. This is totally self-diagnosed, but I do think I had some prenatal depression. It was in the midst of COVID, as I know you were too with Silas. So very, 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 very alone on top of the already lonely pregnancy feelings that a lot of us experience. And so just kind of like the darkest place of my life, to be honest, was when I was pregnant with E, especially during that first trimester. And when I first found out I was pregnant again with baby number two, I immediately, like, I could feel my mind slipping back into that place and being so scared. It was almost like muscle memory of like, this is how you felt, this is how you're going to feel. And I remember being so scared, and I kind of shut off for about a week and was not talking to anybody. I wasn't really talking to Chase. And he finally like gave me a big hug and was like, I don't know what, like, I don't know what you need from me, but I've got to help you. Like, I don't know if you need me to just continue letting you feel this, or if I need to break you down, or what needs to happen, but like, what's going on? And the floodgates just like opened. And I was like, I think I'm scared that I'm going to be sad again. And kind of after that conversation, it was almost like the floodgates opened and they were like washed away and it was done with. And I really think I'm very grateful for that. But I really think that the main reason for that is Eli, because he's such a light in my life, and call it a distraction, call it just him being a positive energy, whatever it is. He has made this pregnancy so much better just because I have him and I have my days to spend with him. And I don't want my son to see me as this sad. And I know I want to be careful with what I say, because I know depression is a very real thing and you cannot control that. But I don't want my son to see me sad if I have the choice, or unhappy or nervous or whatever. Obviously, there needs to be times when he does see those real emotions, but I didn't want to spend this pregnancy in a dark place again. And I really think that that's just because he's just like the light of my life. So It's been easier because of him. And that may just be because he's a crazy toddler and super distracting and takes up my time. But yeah, it's been having him to kind of take up my days has been really sweet. And him, I mentioned this earlier, but just kind of like meeting me at my level a lot of times, not always, because he is such a rambunctious toddler, but he has really picked up on times where like I need to just sit and be quiet and be. So it's been sweet having him on this journey with me. It's helped a lot.
Yeah, I love that so much. I feel like you would almost think having a toddler would make it so much harder, which in many cases it is, like that's why we're here, right? But right. If you look at the bright side, it's almost like, okay, am I having a different pregnancy, or are they keeping me more well? You know what I mean? Like, I felt like, oh my gosh, I was so fatigued with him and like just out of it. And again, it was like different time than COVID and everything. But like I had the exact same timing pregnancies. Like I had this basically the same due date with them. So it was like first trimester was in like December through February. And then, so I could really compare my mental state and like physically how I was feeling and all that from one to the other. And I was like, I don't know if it's just actually a different pregnancy, or the fact that I need to get up, I need to be positive, I need to move, could contribute to me then feeling physically and mentally better, because I couldn't just lay on the couch all day, even if I could have, you know? Yeah. So that part of it is like,
because you could during your first
time. You could. And with him, I just was like on the couch all the time. I would try to get out and about and just want to go home at like 10, 11 in the morning so that I could take a nap. It was really bad.
Yeah.
But I think I maybe took like one nap my whole pregnancy.
Yeah.
I mean, if that even happened, I don't know. But yeah, I think if you look at it that way, it's a blessing.
Totally.
Even though there's days where you feel like crap for not being there, you can't, you know, maybe feel like 100% your happy self, but that just comes with pregnancy, hormones,
it does.
Motherhood, and everything.
They have to see us in those moments too. You know, we can't always be the energetic, playful, happy-go-lucky mom that I would like to think I was most of the time before getting pregnant. Like, he's seen me just horizontal on the couch for days on end, and has just been, it's been sweet witnessing him kind of feel what I'm going through too.
Yeah. Do you think he has any sort of like understanding of what's going on?
No, I really don't. I really don't. I think he knows that kids are intuitive. I've already said that. Kids are very intuitive. But so I think that he's keen on something is changing. I mean, obviously my body looks completely different. So that's an obvious change, but I do think that he's aware that something's changing. But no, I don't, I mean, yeah. I'll say like, where's baby Wyatt, and he'll point at my belly, or like, he knows where his bedroom is, but I'm pretty sure 2 times that we've done that, he's like looked at Chase and like wanted to lift up his shirt too. So mm-hmm. I don't think.
Yeah. No, I was going to just say that it was funny because all throughout my pregnancy, people would be like, oh, is Silas so excited to have a little sister? And I was like, no, he's not even two. Like, he doesn't know what's going on. And toward the end, I suffered from a lot of guilt because when I found out Irie was breached, I was like just turning 35 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so for a solid month, I was crying every day, like mm-hmm. just about every day, because I just could feel, I need to do a whole episode about this, honestly, about her birth story, but I could feel our plans and like everything that I was hoping for slipping out of my fingers and everything that I was scared about coming to fruition.
Yep.
And I could not get out of that mindset. Like yeah. it was just, I literally went through all the stages of grief because I knew I was doing all the things and trying to flip her. And I was like mentally consumed by trying to do all that, which again, I felt terrible, but
yeah,
I just was like thinking of it as this is also for him too, because I was terrified of having a C-section, knowing that that was going to make my recovery and like, you know, caring for him afterwards so much harder. So it was a lot to unpack, but
I'm sure
he toward the end like knew something was going on with that, and anytime he would say, like, you know, he'd point to my belly and same thing, like, that's yeah. baby sister. But he was so funny, he did not want my bare belly showing. And I was pregnant, you know, it was August, so or almost funny. August, and I would always like lift my shirt up, or like, you know, at the end, you just kind of want like your belly
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
You
don't, especially in the South. Yeah. You got to have some air.
Yeah. And I would do that and like stretch or whatever, just like air it out for a minute. And he'd come over and just pull my shirt back down. He'd be like, no. He just, I don't know. It freaked him out. He didn't want my belly showing. And then when he met her, it was not that like moment that you kind of hope and
yeah.
picture. And I think that's something I wanted to talk about today, because you know, you see a lot of the viral videos and like maybe some of your friends post when their toddler meets little sibling, and it's this cute like meet cute where they're like in love and kissing them and cheesing and so happy. And that was not our experience, like at all.
I need to hear this though. This is good. This is a good warning.
Yeah. And I kind of knew that, like one of my friends, she was actually our wedding photographer. She had her second, like a little less than a year before I had Irie. And mm-hmm. I asked her for, you know, advice and whatever. And she was like, honestly, go into it with zero expectations of how he's going to react, because yeah. he's two, like,
yeah,
he's two. He's right. not going to really understand. It's not, you know, she's like, I think where a lot of people set themselves up for disappointment is when they say like, oh, like so-and-so is going to be such a good big brother, or such a good yep. big sister. And like, they try to hype up this excitement and it might not always go that way. Like toddlers, yeah. their world revolves around them. That's yeah. how their brains work at that point in time. Well, and we can't blame them.
The world has been revolved around them. Like
right.
they have been the only child. So this is like earth shatter. I mean, like it's completely different. So yeah, yeah. No, that's good. That's good advice. I will hold on to that. Cause obviously in your mind, you do imagine this, like meet cute's the best way to say it, which makes me want to watch The Holiday. I don't
know. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's, you do envision it being this sweet moment and him like leaning over and kissing her and, or kissing mm-hmm. Irie for you.
Yes.
For me. And like the reality is he may not even give him the time of day, or he may like yeah. hit him, you know, I mean, there, I have seen viral videos of that too.
Yes, I have as well.
And so yeah. I do know that that is a good reminder though.
Yeah.
It's a good reminder. Somebody else told me another good piece of advice, was never blame anything on the baby. So like, if you can't pick up Silas, don't ever say, I'm holding Irie, so I can't hold you right now, because then that immediately is putting negativity towards Irie, when just like, instead of say, mommy can hold you in a few minutes when she's ready or whatever, like rephrasing it so that nothing's the baby's fault, which I really like. And I've held on to that for a while, because I do think it would be easy to just like kind of naturally say, oh, well, Irie needs to be fed right now, you know, or whatever. But I liked that too.
Yeah, I definitely got that advice as well. And it's, I tried to do that as much as I could, but there's only
so much
like intention you can put behind it sometimes. Yeah. So like, okay, what do I say now? But yeah, it was not at all what I was hoping for. And again, that like, I didn't set myself up for disappointment, but when I was feeling my home birth and my unmedicated vaginal birth slipping through my fingers, I was like, okay, well, the things that I can hold on to are like, I'm so excited for Silas to meet this baby and like to see this moment. And I'm really excited to like have another shot at breastfeeding, because with him, it was cut really short given my circumstances.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. I still need to do a podcast about this, but I ended up hemorrhaging 2 weeks after I had him because I had placenta left.
Okay. I did know that.
So it just, my supply was not really there, and it was like this whole thing. So
that makes sense.
I just wanted this redemptive breastfeeding journey, which I'm still technically breastfeeding, mostly pumping. So I'm very proud of it,
but it
definitely was not redemptive, but that's a story for another day. It's been really hard, but so worth it. But anyway, all that just to say, that was another thing that I was like, oh, this is just one more thing that's just not going how I plan. And that just goes to show that we can't hold too tightly to our plans, because God obviously has other plans and lessons for us. But I will say, you know, when we were planning on, when he met her, to make sure that I wasn't holding her. But it kind of got misconstrued, like a little bit of miscommunication with my parents. They were watching him for us, and we had them coming to the hospital. And I had said like, okay, let us know when you get here. And I was going to send Jordan down to the lobby just to get Silas to bring up so that I could put Irie down and it just be us three. And I think they just like, in their excitement, totally forgot that. And they got our room number and they just like, came to the room, and him seeing me in the bed with her and like in a hospital room, he was just like, what is going on? He didn't want to like be near us. He didn't even want to be in the room. It like freaked him out. So Jordan had to go in the hallway with him. And I was like, okay, well, that went well. And we tried to do the whole like, we got him a gift and tried to say like, this is from your baby sister, and tried to give him something to be excited about, and even that was not great. And we got home honestly less than 48 hours later, which was shocking after having a section. I had a section on like 5 p.m. on a Monday, and I got discharged by 8 a.m. on Wednesday. It was kind of wild.
Wow.
I was like, are you sure?
I can't, really?
And they were like, I mean, you can stay if you want, like if you're still in a lot of pain. And I was like, well, no, I don't want to be here, but like, it just kind of feels crazy that I just literally had my like abs open on the table.
Yeah.
And less than 48 hours I'm sitting on my couch at home, but anyway, but all right, I will go home. And so when we got home, I was an emotional disaster because he wouldn't look at me.
Oh my gosh.
Wouldn't look at me. He was just ignoring me. Didn't want anything to do with her.
No.
And I'm probably going to cry about it again. It was just like the toughest thing that night.
God, that makes me cry. I can't even imagine. That literally makes me cry. But these are so good for, this is so good for me to hear and for other moms to hear, because there's no way that this has only ever happened.
Oh, to me. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And we've come a really, really long way, but that very first night, you know, when they're newborns, you can't really, I wasn't putting her down much. She was nursing nonstop. It was what it was. So like, I tried to be present still with him for like bedtime and all the things, but I was also healing from surgery. So I couldn't hold him. I couldn't pick him up. That was gut wrenching too. And so I would just kind of like sit there while Jordan would do his thing, and we were putting him to bed that night, and I sat down beside him to like, you know, do books, and he pushed me off of the bed, and I had Irie with me, and I just went into our bedroom and I sobbed my eyes out. And, you know, Jordan finished bedtime and he came in and he just hugged me and he's like, it's okay. Like, he's, you know, he knows you still love him. He's going to come around.
Oh, that has me crying. So I like, can't, I'm so sorry to that.
It was so hard. It was really hard. But you know, little by little, he started coming around, and like, I can't even describe what I missed him so much. And, you know, like my parents were there helping with him, and my in-laws were there helping with him, and I wasn't technically like supposed to do much and like pick him up. But after I felt okay enough, I was like, no, I've got this. Like, I'm ready for everybody to leave. I want to be his mom again. Like, I just felt like I was so grateful for everybody's help. And I knew I needed to rest and like recover from that. But I was just like, no, I need to mother him again. I just had this burning urge to.
And he needed it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, little by little, like one day, like one morning, he would like come sit with me on the couch while he would like drink his bottle, and then, you know, kind of like touch, but he wasn't ready to like cuddle yet, but he was like close enough to be there. And slowly it got better. And then probably by the first, you know, week or two, he was just like back to being fine with me.
Good.
With Irie though, not so much. It was like, he wasn't violent. He wasn't mean. He wasn't like throwing a fit. He just was like, I don't care. He just was very indifferent. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to accept this for what it is. I'm not going to force it on him. We, like, don't like force them to, oh, go kiss the baby, hug the baby, hold the baby. If they don't want to, it's fine. Like, they will come when they're ready to and on their own time. And that's exactly what we let him do.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget this. She was about 8 weeks old, and I had gone upstairs to make her a bottle. Like, I say upstairs, we just have like a semi-split level house where there's like two steps down to our living room from the kitchen. Yeah. And I had to go to the bathroom when I got back downstairs. So I just put the bottle on like the top of our couch and ran into pee like 30 seconds and then come back out. She was sitting in her little bouncer chair, and I heard her while I was in the bathroom start to cry. And I was like, oh gosh. So I walked back out, and I found Silas had climbed up on the couch, grabbed her bottle, and he was feeding her her bottle when I came out of the bathroom. And I just started crying. I was like, oh my gosh, thank you. Like, well, first of all, I was like, oh shoot, you know, like I left him for less than a minute, and you know what could have transpired. But obviously it was like the sweetest thing. And it warmed my heart so much. And I was like, okay, baby steps. He wanted to do that. Like, he wanted to be your big brother and help. And now their bond is like starting to grow, now that she's starting to like laugh and smile at him and like just be more of a person instead of this little
blob.
Yeah,
because they are at first.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So yeah, there's still struggles here and there, and he loves her conditionally still. Like, if I still have to hold her and feed her and he wants me in that second, he will get mad.
I would too.
But I get it. And he's honestly like given me so much grace and learned how to play independently so well. And He's just come so far. He's just grown like so much. I look back at pictures and videos and stuff from right then, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's 6 months later, and it feels like a whole nother lifetime now.
I can't imagine.
But it was quite the journey. But now, like looking at the positive side of it, it's almost sweeter that I'm like, oh, now I get to watch their bond grow, and like now that he's doing it on his own time, it makes me like proud and like just so much more excited and sweet to see that happening when it took a while, and it's organic, you know, we let him just take
choosing his time.
And
so sweet. That's one thing that excites me so much is watching E become a big brother. And to be honest, I don't really expect it to happen very quickly because, you know, an infant doesn't have a personality. I mean, like we see them as having one, but like realistically they sleep and they feed and they lay there. And like, why would a toddler have interest in that? You know, other than the initial interest of like, what is this thing? But past that, an infant can't play with him. He can't. Yeah. And there can't be really any interaction. So it makes sense that it takes a toddler several months to realize like, oh, this is a human. My parents love this human. Mm-hmm. And like building that bond on their own time.
Exactly.
So I do think that makes sense. And I'm sure it feels probably like a long 6 months to get there. Maybe it's quicker for some, maybe it's longer for some, but of course it takes time because he doesn't know what us too,
right?
Like, yeah.
I mean, it took me both times. I mean, I loved both of my babies endlessly from the moment I saw them, but I remember kind of that turning point with Silas around like 6 or 7 months where I was like, oh, now you feel more like my little buddy. Like we get to go do things together and like have this like friendship. Whereas when they're infants and you're just cluster feeding them all the time, like it's just a totally different dynamic.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah, but it's been sweet. I think if I can give you any advice is to just, keep the expectations. Don't have any expectations and just kind of be open to what's going to happen. And you have your bond with this new baby and he will too on his own time. I also just think boys are a little bit different. Like,
agreed. I was going to say that.
Boys are just more attached to mom and like, I don't know. Maybe.
No, I think you're right. I also think, and I hope
little girls are more maternal.
Yes. That's what I was going to say. I was going to say that boys are less passionate, maybe the wrong word, but rephrase that too.
Yeah.
Little girls are instinctual in caring, I think. Yeah. Not to say that guys are not, but girls are more so that way. So I do see that happening more easily. Yeah. With an older sister versus an older brother who is a mama's boy.
Yeah.
And that's hard. So I think that makes sense. I was going to say that.
Yeah. I've seen, you know, like little girls like to play with baby dolls and they just are a little bit more like nurturing and wanting to help. I think they probably go through a lot of the same like identity struggles and like jealousy and all that. But I think that initial like, ooh, a baby is a little bit more intriguing for them.
Totally. I think that makes more sense. We've even done the little, somebody said for a piece of advice to get a baby doll for E to have.
Yeah.
Did y'all do that?
We did. We brought home, did you ever have a Lee Middleton doll when you were little?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They like look real.
They're, yeah.
Like honestly, this baby was bigger than Irie was when she was born.
Yeah.
And so we brought it home because my mom still had mine from when I was a kid. And we brought it home one time when we were visiting and tried to do like, oh, this is baby. And he kind of cared, but not really. Occasionally he would like go put it in Irie's like little bouncer chair or her car seat.
Oh,
that. And that was cute. But like, did it like prep him? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's hard to say.
He did that. I don't. We'll say like, do you want to put baby doll in your car? Like little things like that. Sometimes he like throws the baby doll across the room and then other times he'll beat it a bottle. But that was one thing that I thought I was interested to see if you did that. And if you thought that actually made it.
Yeah. It's hard to say. Maybe it didn't go like badly.
Yeah.
Another thing, my midwife gave me this advice and she said, you should get like put together a little like basket of activities or toys for him to play with only when you're feeding the baby so that he has like something special to occupy him. And in theory, it was a really good idea, but like, let's be honest, you're feeding them nonstop in the beginning. Like there was not really any time that I didn't have her.
Yeah.
So, but getting him some new things and activities that kept him busy were really helpful just to kind of have something exciting for him. And if you don't already have these, the like water wow books.
Ooh, I don't have those.
So they're basically like coloring books, but it comes with a pen that you could put water in.
Yeah.
And it colors over it and it, you know, colors the pages, but it's not like the ones where once you do it, you have to get new ones. It dries and it goes back to normal.
Ooh.
And so he can do these books over and over and over again. And I'm telling you, Macy, he did this for like hours when we first got
really?
He was obsessed with them. And
part of it,
I think when he first did it for that long was because he was also ignoring me. So it was like, he had somewhere to channel that.
Yeah.
But to this day, he still has like a whole box of them now. And he's like, oh, let's play water books. And he'll sit me down.
Wow.
And he gives me one and he plays with the other one. And he'll sit there for a while and do them. You get them on Amazon.
You need to send those to me so that I can get those for him.
I will. And have it be like the surprise when
baby
comes. He'll love it. Yes.
But did Silas show interest in like any form of crafts before that? Or like coloring because does not.
No.
But I mean, I'll still try it.
You've got a little bit of time too. You'd be surprised how I feel like from 1 month to the next, he'll be like obsessed with one thing and doing one thing. And then the next month he's onto the new like obsession.
He's gone through
like trucks and then dinosaurs. And then it was like animals and coloring and all that kind of stuff. So who knows, maybe these would intrigue him.
I'll get them and save them for when we bring
his baby brother home. They're like magic.
Great advice.
One trick up our sleeve that worked.
Hey, share any tricks you got, because
of everything
we're all just trying to figure it out.
I love it. Well, what note do you want to leave on for any mom who's listening? Maybe they're in like first trimester with a little one, or maybe they're trying to get pregnant and they have a little one.
Oh, I'm trying to think of something that somebody's told me that was really good. Even if it feels like it's not the best version of what you would define yourself as a mom. So like you're 100%, whatever your definition of 100% momming is, even if you don't feel like you're doing that, whatever you are able to provide on that day is your 100%. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like no matter what, even if you don't score it as your best version of momming, the version of you that you can physically, emotionally, mentally give that day is the best version of you as a mom. And I think that the beautiful thing about that is your kid knows that. I really do think that your kid knows that. And no matter what showing up looks like for you in the season of pregnancy with a toddler, your kids still, like, our kids love us so unconditionally, that it's like, I mean, it's crazy. Like there's no other unconditional love like a child's love for their parent, and I do especially think mom. And so I think that's my advice, is that even if it doesn't feel like it's your best, the version of you that your kid is getting is the best that you can give that day, and they know that and they love you for it, and just being present with them is all that they need.
Yeah,
and I'm it's preaching all to the choir right now.
Yes. It's all relative.
Yeah. Like,
I love everything you just said. What I will end on is some advice that a few friends gave me when I was pregnant going through all this and like so nervous. I wasn't all consumed by it, but a lot through my pregnancy, I was just like, I could not mentally fathom loving another child as much as I loved Silas. It's impossible. And then it makes me go, wow, like if we feel this way, imagine like how much God loves us. Like that's crazy to even think about. But anyway, us humans can't even like conceptualize that. But what I was going to say is they all reassured me, listen, a sibling is the greatest gift you could give him. Mm. Like when we're not here, that's who he's going to have, you know? And he's too, like, he's going to be fine. He's probably not even going to remember this season. This is just, and I just kept like replaying that in my mind, like, giving him a sibling is a gift. Like he might not be thrilled about it right now, but in a few months, a few years, like they're going to have the best bond and they will always have each other, even when we can't be there. So I think that's just something to hold on to too, when the rest just feels so overwhelming and out of control. So
yeah. Ah, such is motherhood though.
I know. Only so much we can do, right?
Great. No, I love that though. I think that's great.
Well, this was fun. If moms want to connect with you, where can they find you?
Instagram is really my main place. It's fittestcore, fittestcore. And then my website and app is also called the same thing. So
awesome.
That's where you can find me.
We will link it again in the show notes. And thank you so much, Macy, for being here. This was fun.
Thanks for having me. We'll
talk to you all next week. Alrighty.